Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Goals on Film, Edge of the Crowd's dedicated sports movies podcast. I'm your host, Jason, and joining me for this week's episode is Ali, Rory and Stewie. How are each of you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm good to be back on the pod. Been a few episodes away, but yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, good to be on the pod. Something a little bit different from the usual podcasts.
Yeah, man. Excited to talk about the Mighty Ducks. A bit of nostalgia from when I was a kid. The jury's out but on whether it holds up or not, but I'm sure we'll get into that in the next hour or so.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the episode itself now. And this week, as Stuart did said, we are taking a look at the 1992 ice hockey sports comedy, The Mighty Ducks, or as it was also released in Australia as Champions. But we will reference it as The Mighty Ducks throughout this episode. So a little bit of a synopsis about the film. The story follows Gordon Bombay, a reckless lawyer who, after being arrested for drunk driving, is sentenced to 500 hours of community service, which for him is coaching the local District 5 Pee Wee hockey team. Gordon goes to his boss, Gerald Duckworth, about sponsoring the team when he sees that, you know, their form and, you know, the resources that they have aren't that great, and asks him to put in $15,000 to purchase rink time, uniforms and equipment, just to make them a bit more presentable and taken a bit more seriously. Gordon begins working with the team and training them to become better hockey players and recruits more players as well. But after the players learn that Gordon was once played for the Hawks, a majority of the players quit, forcing Gordon to contemplate quitting himself. But after a chat with Charlie, he joins the team again, and with a showing of solidarity and support with the Ducks and a belief in the team, the Ducks make it all the way to the playoffs and end up winning the championship against the Hawks. In a bit of a full circle moment from the first scene that we see, where Gordon was in the same situation, but Charlie is the one that makes a penalty shot to win the game for the Ducks. So with all that, and we all obviously watched the movie very recently as well, what were your guys' takeaways from the movie? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? Ali, we'll go to you first, maybe.
Yeah, I like the movie. It was probably when I turned it on, I was saying off air, but it's probably the first time I like went to watch it. But like watching it, it sounded familiar, and then I put it together. I think one of the last in the final against the Hawks that we watched it back in primary school, one of those wet weather days. But yeah, I loved it. As probably a first time watching the whole thing through, yeah, I definitely thought it was a good movie.
For me, I've seen this movie probably 30 times. It's up there with one of my most watched through the childhood, that's for sure. But I was always more leaning towards Mighty Ducks 2, to be honest with you. I think that was a better movie overall. But this one is more of a story of class and privilege, isn't it? I think we've got a much poorer team in Division 5 coming up, the Hawks, who are, you know, these preppy private school kids that deserve to get their asses kicked, and it happens. So that's a good win for everyone, that one. But yeah, obviously a great movie. There's some issues that I'm sure we'll get into, and you know, a bit of consistency problems, and the sport isn't all that accurate, but it's, I don't know, for a kids movie, it's a bit of fun. And I don't know, some of that slapstick comedy remind me of Home Alone, which was kind of made around the same time by Disney as well. So
yeah, much like Rory, I had a bit of nostalgia for this film. I watched it a stack of times as a kid. Had a Mighty Ducks jersey at some point along the journey as well. So I was right into it, and I was pretty pumped when it popped up on the Slack, but I just wanted to sit back a bit and be kind of cool. And I was like, I don't know, I'll see if someone else wants to do it. But as soon as there was an opportunity to be on this pod, I just jumped at it, because I was like, oh, what a great time this is going to be. I got to tell you, Jace, thoroughly underwhelmed on a second watch through. It was kind of a little bit tough, man. I seem to always come on here and just kind of shit on the movie. I don't want to be that guy, but it was a bit of a tough watch. But like Ellie and Rory mentioned, I'm sure we'll get into the guts of it as we talk it out tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very glad that you are on this episode, first and foremost, Stewie. It's always great when you are on. And yeah, I think that there can be a little bit of a difference sometimes viewing movies when you are a kid and, you know, like the movie's very new to you and, you know, you're that young age, and then, you know, 15, 20 years later, you watch a movie back and, you know, it just doesn't have the sort of like same sort of pizzazz as like when you first watched it. Like, you know, you notice different things about it that you might not have noticed when you were a kid. You know, you pick up on different things as well. And yeah, like, you know, you just look at it a lot differently. And I think like a part, like similarly to that as well, you sort of look at it through the lens of, you know, just watching a movie for your pleasure. And then like, it's a bit different now as well, like, you know, potentially watching it this week and having to like, you know, be on this podcast and basically like review it. So you might be looking for like other bits to sort of like critique about it a bit. And like that might change your sort of like perception of it as well. But yeah, like you guys said, we will probably get into everything like that a little bit later as well. And things like that will creep into, you know, our segments here as well. But first of all, we'll just go on to a bit about the sort of historical aspects of this movie. It is a Disney movie, but unlike, I guess, some of the other Disney-related movies we've done throughout Goals on Film, this one isn't exactly based on a true story, but it sort of has had, you know, an effect on real life as well, like based on the movie. So it all started with this movie, this 1992 movie, The Mighty Ducks, and obviously Disney movie. And Disney and the National Hockey League in America, they combined together. And in December of 1992, these two worlds collided when the NHL awarded Disney its own NHL expansion franchise, which they called the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. And the team isn't known as that, isn't quite known as that nowadays. It's just the Anaheim Ducks. But yeah, I think that for this sort of pathway, I guess, in, you know, entering a team into a national league of a specific sport to come as a result of a movie, I think, you know, it's just sort of like awe-inspiring. You know, you don't expect these two, like Disney and the NHL, to come together to essentially create a team and, you know, who were sort of entered in the league for quite a few seasons under the name Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, but to sort of like have that start of a success of a new franchise, which is still, you know, playing today.
That's wild. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Disney owned the license for the Mighty Ducks. I mean, I knew Anaheim Ducks were kind of born from the Ducks movie, but I didn't know that Disney held the license.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of an advertising play, this movie. It'd be impossible to think that the license was given in December of 92 and then the team was up and about in 93. There was some backroom discussions there to get this happening. And, you know, pretty smart by Disney to release a kids' movie, build up a quite a big fan base, and then working into an NHL team, you know, who's still successful today. And I don't know about you guys, but I always used to play as the Ducks when you were playing NHL on the PlayStation. I still do that today. Timo Solani was a beast on the left wing. And yeah, the Ducks are a great, big part of everyone's childhood, I think. And as you said, Stewie, yeah, you had the jersey. And I think a lot of people did throughout the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, definitely something I never heard that. But yeah, definitely interesting to hear. Obviously, that's way before my time, obviously, as a 2001 baby. But yeah, good to sort of hear the history, but not behind the movie, but what sort of happened afterwards.
Yeah, well, Disney didn't really have high expectations for the film at the start as well, but it ended up being a pretty surprising success. It grossed more than $50 million between the US and Canada, so those really big ice hockey countries as well. And it just sort of like took off from there. And, you know, I guess based on the success of this film and, you know, all the subsequent sequels as well, you know, people started to catch on. People started to, you know, as you guys have also said, you know, relate, or I guess like, you know, relate ice hockey to the Mighty Ducks and, you know, buy their merchandise and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, it just became a sort of craze, I guess, as well. And yeah, just like created this bit, bit of a boom, really, I think, and especially in the US and Canada, which, you know, obviously US, California, you know, Anaheim, big part of where Disney is located. So it does sort of make sense in a way, but just to sort of have that vision from Disney, you know, be shared by a startup franchise of the NHL, I think that, yeah, it sort of had that really big success and that sort of flow-on effect, which, you know, is still being felt today. Yeah, so just to sort of complete this, I guess, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim made their NHL debut on October 8, 1993. And Disney weren't too ashamed in attaching their brand to the team. So I guess, like, you know, Disney obviously would have used it as a marketing tool, obviously the success of the movie itself. And at their very first home game, there was a 20-minute pre-game show, which was essentially a Disney on Ice production featuring a bunch of Disney characters. So I don't know what you expect when you go to an NHL game and you have to sit through Disney on Ice for 20 minutes before the game. I don't know if I'd be rocking up like straight at, you know, the first buzzer or not. But yeah, I guess like Disney was sort of happy then to incorporate themselves and the Mighty Ducks into like other properties. And so, you know, the team's like cartoon logo that was sort of created, you know, for the team, I guess. That logo was used in the Mighty Ducks sequels. And so, and then the team's mascot as well had its own short-lived animated series. And so, yeah, I think that Disney's marketing and their branding like really paid off, especially towards at the start. And yeah, would have just like sort of had a big impact for the NHL as well and for ice hockey fans in general.
So I don't want to harp too much on this, but does Disney still hold the license? Do they still hold the license now?
Yeah, so Disney sold the franchise in 2005, and two people along with the then general manager, Brian Burke, they changed the name to the Anaheim Ducks before the 2006-2007 NHL season.
Yeah, right. Wow. That's incredible. So they held the license for a reasonable amount of time, 13 or 14 years. 12 or 13 years, whatever. Yeah.
And it's interesting to read the season after Disney sold the license. It's when the Ducks won their first Stanley Cup.
Oh, really? Incredible.
Obviously, having the backing from Disney doesn't help you win a Stanley Cup.
Spending too much time on the pre-game choreography a little bit, maybe.
Just a little bit in terms of the historical aspects as well, continuing on, is around the Minnesota North Stars. So this movie, I think, was set in, it was at least shot in Minnesota, Minneapolis. And that state's team, NHL team at the time, was called the Minnesota North Stars, which are now sort of relocated and have become the Dallas Stars. Obviously, Minnesota have their own team again now as well, I think from the early 2000s, which is the Minnesota Wild. But yeah, back in the late 80s and early 90s, two players that were on the Minnesota North Stars roster was Basil McRae and Mike Modano, and they actually had roles in this movie, speaking roles as well, appearing as themselves. And it was a scene where Gordon takes his Pee-wee hockey club to a Minnesota North Stars training, and essentially the team sort of meet the players, and then, yeah, Mike and Basil sort of stop and talk to Gordon.
I said, look, it's the North Stars. It's Mike McDonald. I can't believe this. This place is humongous. What are we doing here?
It's a little playoffs present.
Hey, Gordo. Gordon Bombay, right? You remember me?
Sure, from Pee-wee's. This guy used to rule in Pee-wee's.
Oh, yeah? I heard you're a farmer.
Actually, I became a lawyer. But I'm coaching Pee-wee now, and this is my team, the Ducks. Ducks, this is Basil McRae and Mike Modano.
Hey, Ducks. Listen to this guy. He knows what he's talking about. If you ever want a shot, let me know. I'll get you a tryout in the minor league clubs.
Thanks.
No problem. Hey, nice seeing you.
Take it easy.
But yeah, I think that it was really interesting to have two of the current players of the current NHL team at the time, the Minnesota North Stars, appear, and essentially the team as a whole, because, you know, the Pee-wee team went to a North Stars training, and so I believe, or I'd expect that, you know, those players that were out on the ice training were the actual North Stars players. It's just that Basil and Mike had those speaking roles. But I think that including those two and including sort of a nod to the Minnesota North Stars was a really nice touch, I think. And, you know, it's sort of even watching on, you know, so many years later, and obviously that team doesn't exist as the Minnesota North Stars now, you can still sort of reflect back and see that it was sort of reflective of the time, and really nice to sort of include the players like that and bring it back to sort of that real life scenario in a Disney film that isn't exactly based on a true story.
So was that, were the Minnesota North Stars any good, or they win any Stanley Cups? Were these guys all-stars or anything like that?
So the Minnesota North Stars did not win a Stanley Cup. They won a conference championship in 1990-91, and they won two division championships.
So if they just won a division championship the year before, I guess these players were you know, pretty high profile.
Yeah, this it got me thinking about some of the other great athlete cameos in movies. We've got obviously Mike Tyson in the Hangover movies. Tom Brady was an Entourage, and who could forget Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the 70s and 80s in Airplane and a couple of Bruce Lee movies. All great athletes that have appeared in films, but yeah, obviously great to have these two in it. What was kind of unrealistic is they had the Ducks go out between practice and the game starting to go around and skate on the ice. I found that a bit ridiculous. That's obviously not happening. Like maintaining an ice hockey rink is extremely difficult and expensive. They're not going to risk it with kids going out there. The other thing was one of the players at the end there said to Gordon, give us a call and we'll get you a minor league tryout. Obviously we see that he gets on the bus at the end to go do that.
Look, don't take any bad dives, okay? Just remember, keep your head up, man. Cake eater.
Remember strength, not concentration.
Right.
And for God's sakes, soft hands.
Right. Anything else?
Yeah. Have fun out there, coach.
I must be crazy to try out with the minors. I'm gonna be going up against kids half my age.
Just have a good tryout, Gordon. One step at a time.
Yeah, you're right. Bye. I'll call you when I get there.
Hey, Ducks! No matter what happens, we'll see you next season. We got a title to defend.
Emilio Estevez is 5'6". He's not playing NHL. It's just not happening. He's too short. You can be as skilled a player as you want when you're like 9 years old, like those flashbacks are. But if you don't have the height, you don't have the size, you're not playing professional sport. It's as simple as that. And, you know, Emilio Estevez is not gifted in that aspect. Great actor, but you know, a bit too short.
Maybe that's why he's kind of disappeared off the radar also, you know? He was able to get by when he was a bit younger and, you know, had the good-looking face for the ladies or the men, you know? And, and then he got a bit older. His face got a bit withered and they're like, nah, sorry, pal, you're too short. Get behind the camera or get out of our industry.
Yeah, and I think acting's moved on a little bit as well from... you could have Emilio Estevez as your main character before, but now if you're not kind of in that Avengers model, you know, 6'4" and massively ripped like a Chris Evans or any of the Chris's that are in those movies. It's just not happening for you. So yeah, I think those days are kind of gone. Tom Cruise is the only one that's kind of kept around, and I don't know, a bit unfortunate. But Emilio Estevez is, you know, he's 60. He's getting into the second half of his life. Bit of a comeback with the series that's coming back for a second season. So I don't know. His career he'll be fine. I'm sure he's got some cash stored up as well.
I'm sure he's not singing for his supper. That's for sure, yeah, that's mate.
I thought you were going to say there, Stuart, that Emilio Estevez sort of fell off the face of the earth because he was building himself up to be an NHL player or something. No.
I should have. That's a better line, yeah.
We'll now move into how true the sport is portrayed within the movie. And obviously, a game like ice hockey, it is pretty fast-paced and, you know, there's a lot of different sort of plays and techniques that you can make. And, you know, it's just, yeah, very fast-paced about skating on the ice, moving the puck and all that sort of thing. I thought that, like, the movie did an okay job at, like, following along with what was happening, at least, like, on the rink. You know, they slowed it down when they needed to. I feel like sometimes as well, like, it appeared that, you know, a player was just, like, holding the position, like, a little bit longer just to, like, make sure the camera actually, like, focused on it and then was able to move away and that sort of thing. And so, like, in that sense, like, it sort of took away from the effect of, you know, the fast-paced moving game. But what were your guys' thoughts on that, about how the Mighty Ducks sort of, you know, portrayed the sport of ice hockey? I know, Rory, you sort of alluded to something like this towards the start.
Yeah, I think what was surprising for me is I remember this being a bit more ice hockey field, a bit more action, and I think you probably get 15 minutes at most of, you know, on ice game time throughout the whole 90-minute film. So, yeah, that was a surprise to me going back to it. But I think the overall, look, it's a kids' movie, isn't it? Kids have to be able to follow this. And that's where we saw, you know, some of the slapstick stuff when, you know, Fulton was hitting the puck pretty big and players would fly all around and jump out of the way. So... I don't think you can really take too much of this movie seriously. I think it did a decent job at, I don't know, representing these are kids that are playing, and the skill levels weren't all that high. But like in terms of shots, as you were saying, Jason, it was all a bit slow, and, you know, wait for someone to actually do the choreography before you move on to the next shot, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's not really an ice hockey film. It's a choreography film that's based around ice hockey. As I said, it's a kid's film. It's not really meant to be all that realistic. And I don't know, they did a pretty good job on the ice, I think.
I think Rory and yourself nailed it. You know, it was a little bit staged, a little bit choreographed, you know, players spending just a little bit too long, you know, with the puck at their feet or at their stick or whatever the correct terminology is. It just seemed a little bit staged, but it's kind of on brand because, you know, like Rory said, it's a kids' movie. It's not really about the sport, you know. It's just a bit of Disney fare with a bit of hockey chucked in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you guys pretty much nailed it. I think I'm not obviously the biggest. I don't know all too much about ice hockey, but from what I saw, it wasn't that true to what I have seen. It kind of pulled off the same vibes as that episode of The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa were playing against each other, which is sort of the vibes I got, except of course you wouldn't get the girl skate doing the ice skating spins in a real game of ice hockey either.
Tana, tell me, let's show these hawks something really different. Come here. Guys, to start up here.
Third period, and the Ducks trail 4-2. Frank desperately to get back in the game. The Ducks with it. Tammy and Tommy Duncan on the ice. Tammy Duncan goes in front of the net.
But yeah, it was good quality for a kids' movie.
That's a good shout, Ellie. It definitely gave off that Bart versus Lisa Simpsons episode for sure.
Yeah, and I think you raise a good point there as well, Ellie. When Connie was doing the figure skating routine in the middle of the ice, trying to distract all the other players and, you know, look for that sort of like cheap goal when the opposition team were focused on, you know, Connie performing her routine. I don't think you would see that in an ice hockey game at sort of any real level. You know, those sort of like deception tactics, I guess. I think that as well, like there seemed to be a lot of like the sort of physical, like pushing and all this sort of stuff that I think went a bit sort of like unnoticed, or like, I don't think like, yes, ice hockey is like a very physical game and you can like be pushed up against like the boards and all this sort of stuff. But I think there may have been like a bit too much of that, like throughout the film. Like, again, yes, it's like kids playing and they'll want to like, you know, all rush towards the puck and all this sort of stuff and be the ones to get the goals and all this sort of stuff as well. But I think that, yeah, for me at least, like watching this and then watching a proper ice hockey game, I think that during the gameplay, during this movie, like there was just a lot more of that, which sort of like went unnoticed. And I don't think like it would, you'd like experience that so much in a proper game. And like, especially like sort of like off the play as well, I think is what I'm trying to like, you know, tie it up to. I don't think you'd really see a lot of that.
Yeah, I think they've definitely cut that down in the new series that was released at the end of last year. It's a bit less physical. I think that kind of the 90s were a different time, weren't they? And you could probably get away with pushing people around a little bit more than you can today. So I don't know how unrealistic it is, but it was a little bit over the top, that's for sure. Most of that was kind of, yeah, off the plane, unnecessary. But, you know, they've got to build up this idea that the Hawks are the bad guys and that, you know, the Ducks are the good guys, don't you? So that's kind of how you advance that plot narrative forward. Yeah, just on extra time as well. There's a scene where Fulton scores his first goal, right? The Ducks tie it up 2-2 with about 6 seconds to go. And we don't see any overtime. Like every ice hockey game goes to overtime. There's no draws in ice hockey. That's why we've got penalty shootouts. That's why Bombay missed it, right? Quarter of an inch either way, all that stuff. So it didn't make any sense that there'd be a draw. It just doesn't happen in ice hockey.
All right, we'll move on to the next segment, which is looking at the acting performances. And so I'll just give you a quick run through about the main cast members. So we first had Emilio Estevez as Gordon Bombay. We had Joss Ackland as Hans. We had Lane Smith as Coach Jack Riley. Heidi Kling as Casey Conway. Joseph Summer as Gerald Duxworth. And Joshua Jackson as Charlie Conway. Obviously there are a whole range of other actors as well, you know, all part of the team and all part of like the background and that sort of thing as well. But I guess to you guys, whether you want to single out a particular actor or look at a couple of actors and their performances, what did you guys take away from the acting performances and how they all sort of work together in telling the story?
So I've got a question for you, Jace. How many Academy Awards did this movie win? Because some of the acting performances were just on point. Fantastic. Now, I was talking off mic before we started recording about Emilio Estevez. I love Emilio Estevez. I thought he was really good in this movie. Definitely a early 90s guy. He's kind of vanished into nothing now. And it's funny seeing, you just said the actor's name, and I said his name before. I can't remember it now. The Dawson's Creek guy. What's his name?
Joshua Jackson.
Joshua Jackson. Thank you, Rory. It's funny seeing him as just a little kid. Who would have thought that little kid would actually, you know, just have a career? It's his entire life is acting now, you know? It's, so that was notable for me also.
Fun fact, just like interjecting here, another actor that was potentially asked to play the role of Charlie Conway, and you obviously mentioned that it was Joshua Jackson, he went on to a very big acting career as well, but Jake Gyllenhaal was also actually asked to play Charlie Conway. So, wow. You know, potentially he could have got his sort of acting career off from Mighty Ducks as well, but as we know as well, he's had a pretty successful career too.
Yeah, definitely. That's incredible. Charlie Conway, that's the role you want to get if you're a young fella trying to be an actor for the rest of your life. Am I right?
Rory, was there any actor that sort of stood out to you in terms of the portrayal of the character?
Yeah, so as Shuey said, Joshua Jackson's very good in this. That scene in the diner where he manages to just cry on cue is pretty amazing, and I think an actor much older, much more experienced, probably couldn't have pulled something like that off.
I talked to Jesse and Terry's dad, and he's going to take over coaching for the rest of the year.
You're quitting?
I'm stepping aside to keep the team together. The guys can't play for somebody they don't trust.
I trust you. The other guys do too. They just don't know it. You got to talk to them.
Charlie, I've done all I can.
No, you haven't. You got to tell them. You got to make them understand. You can't walk out on the Ducks. We're your team.
No, you're not.
We are too. We weren't even the Ducks until you came along. You made us, and now you're stuck with us.
Charlie.
Emilio Estevez is always great. Kind of in the shadow of his brother a little bit, and I think, you know, keeping the Estevez name didn't really help there in terms of his career. But I think overall it was a pretty good acting performance all round. Obviously the kids, what are you going to do there? And Hans is good, even though his accent's a bit, I don't even know what country he's meant to be from. It's never actually spoken. He says he's from Scandinavia. I think he's Swedish, but I'm not all that sure. The movie overall, though, great acting the whole way through. Joshua Jackson, obviously, a few years later, teen heartthrob all over the world with Dawson's Creek, and Emilio Estevez appealed to the mums a bit more, and Joshua Jackson trying to get his mum in with Emilio Estevez the whole time. Oh, the ultimate wingman.
That was just rough to watch, man. You seen it it was unfurling before your eyes, and you're like, don't do it, please. Let's just leave this whole plot line out of this movie. But no, they definitely persisted with it, and it was rough. It was rough to watch.
Yeah, 100%. And then there's the Joshua Jackson quote where he says, a quarter of an inch and the puck would have missed completely.
Talk to the guys?
I tried. I think I'm a traitor for even showing up.
Guess they really hate me, huh?
Is it true you were really a hawk?
Yeah.
Peter said you blew a really big game once.
Yeah, well, Peter's right. It was the last game of the state finals. We were tied 2-2 in the end of the third period. I get a penalty shot. I go in. I triple deke, I fake the goalie right out of his pads. Puck's headed in, and then clang.
Oh.
Hits the post, we lost in overtime. A quarter of an inch this way, and it would have gone in. A quarter of an inch, Charlie.
Well, yeah, but a quarter of an inch the other way, and you would have missed completely.
I never thought of it that way.
At least you got to play in a championship game. God, that must have been so cool.
Like, what kind of... what are you meant to take out of that? Like, you could have missed. Who does that help? You don't get a point for hitting the post. You don't get a point for missing. You only get a point for going in. It doesn't matter how far away it was. You needed to go the other way, not to the left. So I don't know. A pretty silly thing. There's no winning if you hit the post in ice hockey. And I don't know. That's the whole plot device, right? That's what changes Gordon Bombay's kind of outlook on this team and on ice hockey in general. and it just doesn't make sense at all. Hitting the post, yeah, it doesn't do anything for you, so it's all just a bit silly.
Absolutely, that's nonsensical. That's the Disney of it all, though, right? And that's what makes the first point you made about, you know, Joshua Jackson's character, Charlie Conway, let's just call him that, trying to set his mum up with his coach. That's what makes that so weird, is that this is a Disney movie.
If they wanted to go full Disney, they would have had that Charlie Conway shot at the end, hit the post and go in. I think that would have been the way to wrap this up properly.
No, let's be real. If it was full Disney, they'd break out into song at whatever point of the movie.
I think Charlie just obviously wanted Gordon to sort of like shoot his shot at the end.
Yeah,
he does plenty of that in Dawson's Creek a couple of years later, so he'll be fine, I'm sure.
All right, Ali, was there any actor that sort of stood out for you in their performance at all?
I think you guys, touch on it quite well. Yeah, Josh Jackson was quite good to see his career almost start at the Mighty Ducks and to where it's gone from, as you guys said, Dawson's Creek. But he was great, although, as you guys said, some of the material he got probably wasn't the best, what he did with it was quite good.
Yeah, I think I'll just obviously relay everything that you guys have said. I think that Emilio Estevez and Joshua Jackson were the two sort of main stars of this movie, and they worked quite well together, in all their scenes that they had, whether it was, the more sort of hockey-related scenes or, the more sort of at-home scenes. And, I think that those two worked really well together. I think that Emilio Estevez played his role really well. At the start, he was sort of this, as we sort of said, reckless lawyer who was, like, grumpy and, he was all like, I don't want to coach this team. Obviously had all those flashbacks to when he played himself and didn't really want to be a part of it. And I think that he sort of expressed that quite a bit, but then, you saw the progression of his character sort of come into it and, the effect that the kids had on him and, I guess essentially like, he found love with the game again. That really sort of started or became apparent with his relationship with, all the players and then, the characters that came in, like his mentor Hans, and all these people as well. I think that Charlie, he played a really good role as well, as like, the star player before I guess Banks joined the team as well. But I think that, as I said, I think that Emilio Estevez like really sort of connected well with all the kids of the movie, and I think the kids really did well, as sort of like this ragtag bunch, whether you saw them just like out on the street or actually at the rink or even at school as well. You sort of saw them all band together, and I can't help but think like that's how it would have been like on the set as well, which would have obviously really helped the movie along as well, just in terms of that like, togetherness and, just creates a better sort of synergy when it comes time to actually shoot as well.
Yeah, definitely. They all did a great job. And I think Adam Banks and his actors also a good job, obviously, moving from the Hawks to the Ducks there. And I don't know about you guys, but I saw a bit of a Karate Kid parallel when the Hawks coach told him to pull him down and it was a bit like a sweep the leg moment. I think they've probably taken that directly from the Karate Kid that came out, was it 7 years before this? So I don't know. Nothing wrong with stealing from other movies, I guess, but that's pretty easy parallel to draw there, I think.
I think that one was lost on me, but that's a great shout, Rory. That 100%. I think they probably definitely did steal that from the Karate Kid, or maybe they're paying homage. Maybe that's how they that's what they call it.
That's what they'll say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk about the ages of the kids. So Fulton's, what's he, 38, 39? He's an old man. He's massive. He's bigger than Gordon. They're meant to be playing peewee hockey, which I believe is under 13s, right? there's not many 13-year-olds that are going around at 6'4" like Fulton is. And then you seem to have, there's a couple of kids in the Ducks team that seem to be about 7 or 8 years old as well. Like they're really small. And then like they build the Hawks up to be much bigger and taller. I don't know. That doesn't, it doesn't seem all that fair to me. And that might have a little bit to do with all that pushing into the walls that we saw. Yeah. I don't understand the ages of those players. I think you could probably get a separate division with some smaller kids in it, maybe even up the competition a little bit.
It's very much those vibes of when nowadays when they're casting high school movies, they cast 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Bring it back to the days of Josh Jackson playing an 18-year-old and being 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks wrong. But funnily enough, Rory, so Alden Henson, who plays Fulton Reed, he was 15 when he filmed Mighty Ducks. Oh, 16. A little bit old. So we've had a look now at the acting performances, but we asked the question now, was there any character that you sort of related to, whether it was the character as a whole or parts of a character or maybe, you know, something a character said or did that sort of resonated with you or, you know, you sort of found yourself relating to? Stuart, we'll start with you for this question maybe.
Listen, man, usually you can find something to kind of relate to, but I've really struggled. Like, don't get me wrong, not that these are reprehensible people or anything like that, but I just don't think I've ever got 500 hours of community service that involved me, you know, coaching a hockey team or, you know, I never tried to set my mum up with my coach. You know, so I had a hard time relating with any of them. A part of the movie I did enjoy was when Gordon's in the office with his old boss and they're trying to get him to throw the game and he starts quacking at his boss and his boss just says, "Gordon, stop quacking."
"I can't withdraw my protest."
"What?"
"Mr. Ducksworth, you wanted me to learn about fair play and how to be part of a team. And I may not have learned everything yet, but I remember something my father said to me. A team isn't a bunch of kids out to win. A team is something you belong to, something you feel, something you have to earn. And I'm not gonna let those kids down."
"Gordon, I'm going to make this simple. Are you prepared to lose your job over some kids, some game?"
"Let me ask you, sir. Are you prepared to fire me over some kids, some game?"
"Collect your personal belongings, Gordon."
"Yes, sir, Mr. Ducksworth. Thank you very much, Mr. Ducksworth. Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. Quack, 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 quack,
Gordon.
Quack.
Stop
quack, 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 quack.
Oh my goodness, I fell about, I had to pause the movie. I was laughing so much at that scene. I don't know if it's the acting or if it's the delivery, but something about that was just spot on. So it's not really the question you asked, but that's my answer.
I think like that scene in particular, like it was so serious that, you know, you had Gerald Ducksworth and then you had the two people from the Hawks as well, like, you know, just being like, hey, you know, this is the decision that we've come to, and Gordon's just like, "Nah, I'm not gonna do that, I'm gonna quack at you." It's just it turned from serious to like, yeah, like funny in an instant. And you know, like you said, Stuart, I think like that was a moment where you do just like go into like a fit of laughter because it is so unexpected. And I think that that's a credit to Emilio Estevez as well, to be honest.
You reckon that was ad-libbed?
Sorry. yeah, and they just kept it in, yeah.
I think what was made it even more, made that scene better was that the kids did it like two scenes or so earlier when they started quacking at the principal for whatever. I can't remember exactly what it was for, but yeah. Made that extra bit better.
Some top-notch quacking in this movie.
Yeah, 100%. I've got a quacking story. So in my maths class between year 8 and year 10, our teacher was a massive Mighty Ducks fan. Before we were allowed to leave class, we'd have to answer a maths question. And then if we got it correct, we'd have to quack. If the quack was good enough, we'd be allowed to leave. If it was not good enough, you'd have to go again until you got it right. So I'm pretty good at a quack myself.
Hey, Rory, can I just give you a quack and you can tell me if your maths teacher would let me go to the bathroom or not?
Of course.
All right, here we go.
Quack, quack.
Yeah, that's so a duck's got it's a deeper quack. It's also a bit longer. It's more of a go again.
Quack, quack.
That sounded just bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh my god. All right, come on. Is anyone else gonna try this quacking business with me? We're doing a Mighty Ducks podcast, for goodness sake. We gotta do some quacking.
I think you're by yourself on this one.
I don't know. I feel like I would more, you know, be more inclined to do it as part of a chant, like it was in the film, than just like randomly doing it, you know, one quack. Yeah. I'm not going to do it, but that's what I do.
Oh, well, at least I gave it a shot. I'll go back to the drawing board. I'll be in touch, Rory. You can help me polish up my quacks, okay?
Fair enough. Yeah, but I don't think there's any characters to relate to. I think most of it is kind of in between ages for this film. So you've got, you know, obviously the kids, and then you've got those adults that are probably, I don't know, between 35 and the older ones are about 70. Talking about that scene, you know, that serious scene in the lawyer's office, these Hawks coaches, they take themselves pretty seriously, don't they? I think someone needs to tell them they're coaching peewee hockey. You're 70 years old. You're coaching peewee hockey. Your life's not going as well as you think it is. Pull your head in a little bit, I think.
Absolutely. Who that? The Hawks coach, that actor, it was bothering me. Like, where do I know him from?
I had the same feeling.
Yeah. He's got a very familiar face. Just one of those guys, one of those 90s movie guys that's just pops up in movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Was in the Lois and Clark TV series.
He's the editor. He was the editor from the Lois and Clark. Yes. That's where I know him from. You're a champion. Fantastic. Just an all-star show, that one. Lois and Clark, Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher, old mate from Mighty Ducks. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that, like, yeah, a lot of the acting, especially from Lane Smith as Coach Jack Riley, and a lot of the Hawks, you know, team in general, like their coaches and their players, like, you know, the acting was a bit over the top and very aggressive. And, yeah, I think that obviously Lane Smith sort of conveyed that quite a lot, you know, and I'm sure that some coaches are like that, even at peewee level. But, you know, sometimes you probably just got to remember that you are coaching kids who are under the age of 10 and, you know, you want to keep them in the sport. I feel like that would drive me out of the sport. Ali, was there any character that you found yourself sort of gravitating to in any way?
I mean, not really. As you know, so it's probably there was that big sort of age difference between the kid. It was either the little kids or the middle-aged adults, or you had the few like older people, but yeah, not really. But one thing, I think you guys mentioned it before too, but one thing I wouldn't do is on the, what was it, the third time interaction with your hockey coach, I wouldn't ask him to stay for dinner either.
Tell your mom that hopefully it'll be a lot more fun this time around. What do you say?
Do you want to stay for dinner?
What?
Charlie.
No, I can't. Well, what are you having?
Very forward.
Yeah. And it was so random as well.
And even when, like, you know, Gordon was like, oh, you know, maybe not. And then, like, 2 seconds later, he was like, what are you having, by the way? Like,
yeah, the mum was very shocked too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Charlie, what are you doing, Charlie?
Didn't take her long to come around to the idea, though, did it?
Absolutely not.
I'm sure it's not the first time Charlie's intervened in that way.
Yeah, I think I share the same sort of feelings as all of you. I don't think there was any one sort of character that I found myself relating to. It was more so like parts of different characters. Because, yeah, I feel like, you know, the characters were, you know, yeah, you had those adults who were very serious and, you know, especially the coaches, they were about winning. And obviously Gordon was, you know, all about having fun in the end. And then, you know, kids will be kids, that sort of thing. So I think that, yeah, I don't think there was too many characters which, you know, you could say that you relate to. I think more so for me, it was probably like, you know, a couple of lines delivered by a couple of, you know, characters as well, which I found, which like when they were delivered, like, you know, had a bit of a laugh, or I'd be a bit, I'd say to myself, like, I could see myself, like, you know, clapping back with that line on all this sort of stuff. But yeah, in terms of like more sort of overall characters, yeah, I didn't really see myself relating to any of them. All right, we get to our final segment now, where we ask, if you could have an ice hockey related movie get made, what would it be and why would you want that to be made? So we might start with Ali for this question.
Yeah, so I did a bit of research. Obviously, I'm not the biggest hockey fan or know that much about the NHL, but I stumbled across the Edmonton Oilers between the years of 1984 and 1990, won 5 championships across 7 years, which is just massive. Could say any sport nowadays, if a team was able to do that, would be huge. But yeah, they had the likes of Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messer holding the reins of the club. So yeah, seeing how, yeah, across those 7 years of sustained success would be a movie I'd line up to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. My ideas are a little bit different. So Australia and ice hockey, not two things you put together. Not a huge sport in Australia, but in the 1960 Olympics, Winter Olympics, Australia sent their first and only ice hockey team. Through the 6 games that were played, we scored 10 goals. That's pretty good, right? 10 goals, got to love that. We did concede 87, though. So, not a great 6 games in the Olympics there for the Australians. I think kind of a story about how those players all came together to represent what is not an ice hockey country in an era that we didn't really get as much American sport would be an interesting one.
So as per usual, I've done no research on this particular segment, and I apologize, Jason. I told you I'd do better after some of the other suggestions I've come up with. So taking my cue from Ellie, who said she did a little bit of research, I just did about 2 minutes of research while you two guys were talking. There's a game from 1980 between the Soviet Union and the United States. Has there been a movie about that one yet? The Miracle on Ice? There has? Yeah, okay.
That's what it's called.
Well, there you go. So my backup here was the USA played Canada, the Vancouver 2010 Olympics, and Canada actually got the best of the United States in extra time. Let's just make a movie about that one.
I think for my suggestion for this prompt, I'm also going to look at a bit of an Australian flavour to it, and that is of Nathan Walker. He's a Welsh-born Australian professional ice hockey player. He currently plays for the St. Louis Blues in the NHL, but he was part of the squad with the Washington Capitals a couple of years ago, in the Washington Capitals year where they won the Stanley Cup. And so therefore, you know, Nathan Walker, he was the first Australian to play in the NHL, first of all. But then he also became the first Australian to win essentially a Stanley Cup, because I believe he played in one of the playoff games. And so I think that because of that, his name did get put on the Stanley Cup. You know, he appeared in a couple of games throughout the year. He played in, appeared in, I think, yeah, it was one playoff game throughout, you know, their path to the Stanley Cup. And I think that, yeah, I think that it'd be a really good story to tell, obviously, just that story about an Australian ice hockey player making it to the big leagues. We obviously don't see it happen. As Rory sort of mentioned, you know, the Australian Ice Hockey League doesn't get too much coverage, and, you know, players need to sort of go elsewhere to sort of work their way up the levels. And I think, yeah, a story about how Nathan Walker did that would be really cool.
Yeah, 100%. He's one to keep an eye on, that's for sure. And it's just good to see Australians kind of rising up through American sports. I know you cover baseball pretty closely, Jason, and we've got a few more popping up there. And the NHL, the NFL, there's more and more kickers popping up to Australian as well. So that's always good. I think the 1960 Olympics team could have done with Nathan Walker, though. Might have only conceded 84 goals instead.
Maybe so, maybe so. All right, well, that does bring us now to the end of the episode. So, Stuart, Rory, Ali, would you guys like to share your social media handles for us?
You can find me on Twitter at AliMac24.
Yeah, on Twitter, Instagram, all the good stuff at Rory_Dennis. Also follow Edge of the Crowd everywhere as well. So do all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely follow Edge of the Crowd everywhere. Also, you can catch me on Twitter at Stewie is sick of it, or on Instagram at Stewie the Sports Guy. You can also hear me on the After Extra Time podcast. Thank you, Jason.
No problem. And you can find me on both Twitter or Instagram at Jace Irves. You've been listening to Goals on Film. You can find Goals on Film on Twitter and Instagram at Goals on Film Pod. Goals on Film is part of the Edge of the Crowd network. You can find Edge of the Crowd on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube at Edge of the Crowd. You can also view any of our stories, be it sport or culture, on our website, www.edgeofthecrowd.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.